Al, we may have goofed about this a couple weeks ago, but now we can actually talk about the new Final Fantasy.
It's true, we have both completed the story now.
Even though the story's not complete.
Yeah, well.
Don't worry, in like 2029, we'll finish the story.
Hey, maybe my student loans will be wiped by then.
Nah.
Damn it. I mean, that 2029 is my year. That's when it's scheduled.
Don't worry, they'll find some way to not do that.
Don't tell me that.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Seasonal Anime Checkup OVA. It's a podcast where we have conversations about video games, anime, and manga. Hello, I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Owl and Lady M.
Hello.
This is episode 378, and we are discussing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Rebirth.
The second game in the Final Fantasy VII Remake story.
Mm-hmm.
Coming hot off the heels of the 2020 release.
I mean, kind of cool off the heels, but it's been a hot second.
Hot off the heels. Yeah, this game came out on February the 29th of this year, so, you know, a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
And a big tentpole release for the year, of course. People do like that Final Fantasy. Especially the Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I hear that people are a big fan of the Final Fantasy VII.
Little-known game, Final Fantasy VII.
You know, I write for a website about Final Fantasy VIII being the best.
Yeah, what about Final Fantasy VII?
Maybe I should write an article for Final Fantasy VIII is the best, about how I played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I still think Final Fantasy VIII is the best.
Ralph, buddy, me. Anyways.
Ralph, buddy, you.
Let's talk about development of this year's video game.
Okay.
During the promotion of Final Fantasy VII Remake, Square Enix confirmed that it would not cover the original's complete story, but would rather act as a standalone first game in a multi-part series, with each entry providing its own unique experience. Game director Tetsuya Nomura, you may have heard of him.
Heard of him once or twice.
Cited a massive undertaking to reconstruct Final Fantasy VII from the ground up with the current technology as the reason why a remake was not possible for some time. He went on to elaborate that fully remaking its content in a single installment would necessitate cutting various elements to suit the target hardware and gameplay design, by which point a remake would be considered pointless. He additionally expressed a desire to expand upon the original game's depiction of Midgar for one game, wanting players to explore various areas that were previously inaccessible in the original, with heightened detail due to the increased power of newer generation hardware. While Nomura understanding the nostalgia behind the original game's story, he envisioned remake as a reimagining that would get the fans of the original version excited. Producer Yoshinori Kitase likened the remake's multi-part structure to Final Fantasy XIII, being followed by Final Fantasy XIII-2 and Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII. He stated that remake structure would differ from that of XIII due to its nature as a remake of a pre-existing narrative centered on a central protagonist, Cloud, as opposed to the multiple perspectives
Cloud
focused on across the 13 trilogy. He also anticipated each game in the remake series to be approximately as long as one of the Final Fantasy XIII games. Kitase would subsequently reveal that Final Fantasy VII Remake project to encompass a trilogy between Remake, its sequel, which is this, and a third and final entry. The development team had initially conceived of remaking it across two games rather than three, citing the indecision on the direction as a primary reason for their lack of clarification on how many parts the remake would have. Kitase explained that this was due to the difficulties in determining development scheduling due to the lack of understanding regarding the project's overall scope. The follow-up to Remake had begun development in November 2019 prior to the game's initial release on the PlayStation 4. According to Nomura, the game was designed with newcomers in mind.
Whoa.
Nomura later stated in July of 2020 that the intent was to produce a higher quality game than its predecessor, while also ensuring it was released as quickly as possible. Well, in regards to the technical improvements made in Remake's enhanced 2021 Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, Nomura noted that while environmental effects such as fog were added to the port in order to further enhance the sense of realism and immersion in the world, he advised fans to wait for further entries that would take proper advantage of the PS5's hardware and features in both gameplay and graphics. Game director Naoki Hamaguchi separately expressed a desire to leverage the new gameplay and battle mechanics introduced in the downloadable content episode Intermission, such as team-up attacks performed by Yuffie and Sonon in the next game, as he felt they would made for a different feel and battle strategy. Rebirth was revealed alongside Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion, a remaster of Crisis Core for modern platforms, which influenced quality of life improvements to gameplay and presentation to bring the game in line with Remake. This includes Remake's English voice cast, who replaces the original voice actors. Reunion was blah, 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 blah. This is just all about Reunion. The remaster was designed to familiarize players with the story of Zack ahead of his appearance in Rebirth, which he would take a more significant role. In April... we'll get to that. In April 2023, lead battle programmer Satoru Koyama spoke on the potential of incorporating improved party AI in the battle system for Rebirth and sequel, remarking on its potential to multitask between physical attacks, techniques, and magical casting, while expressing a desire to surpass the gambit system used for non-controlled party members in Final Fantasy XII. That was a whole lot about not about this game.
Yeah. Rip.
Ripperoni. Did you know this game was one of the first major video game releases to release on a leap day?
You know, I didn't even think about that.
So there you go.
I wonder what games have been released on leap days.
That's a great question.
Or what big games.
Yeah. Let me see if this link says anything about that. Not really. So, anyways.
All right.
This game has a 93 out of 193% on Metacritic and OpenCritic, respectively. And in Japan, it was the highest selling new release during its first week, selling over 260,000 units. And probably sold like a bajillion other units worldwide. I don't know. There's no number here, but probably a butt ton.
Mm-hmm.
I will go ahead and say that. Unconfirmed, but probably confirmed. So yeah, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Rebirth.
It is more Final Fantasy VII in the remake style, but this time, we'll talk about like some non-spoilery stuff first, and then we'll dive into the meat and potatoes of spoiler stuff, as we tend to do. But yeah, I think the big thing with this game is that it is more open world focused, kind of. Like there's just big open areas. Which they decide, hey, y'all like them Ubisoft games? Y'all like climbing towers? I'm like, no, not really.
No, not really.
Well, too bad.
You get to climb lots of towers.
You do get to climb a lot of towers. Yay.
Like, the first time, like, in the Grasslands area, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then we got to Juno, and I was like, this is fine. And then we got to, like, Costa del Sol desert area. I was like, this is no longer fine.
Yeah.
This is no longer fine.
I think I...
And then by the time I got going Gaga, I'm just like, no, f*** this.
Yeah, I think that stuff kind of wears its welcome out. Especially because, like, there's no variety in terms of, like, the activities you're doing between each area. It's just, like, you will go fight monsters. You'll go investigate the life stream. You'll go find information about the specific summon of that area. It's the same old stuff.
You'll find proto relics,
which is like its own built-in storyline stuff. But yeah, it's you do the same things each individual area. So there's no variety or anything. So it's just go around, do all the stuff again. Go around, do all the stuff again. And it really feels like as well, like each area gets progressively more annoying to navigate through.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help in the slightest.
Oh my God. Like I said, by the time I got to Going Gaga, I was just like, what is happening? Like, what do you mean I have to figure out which specific mushroom I have to bounce off of to get to this damn thing? Are you kidding me? How can you take something as fun as the word Going Gaga and make it awful? And yet they did it.
Me, Gungaga.
Like, Cosmo Canyon, just, like, having to fly around and stuff. I'm like, how do I get to this dang tower? I have to find the very specific jumping off point for the chocobo to fly over there. I'm like, oh my God. Ugh.
Yeah, that... I feel like it was a good idea at first, and then, like, it just... It wasn't. By the time you're 60 to 70 hours in, you're just kind of like, I'm good on this.
Yep.
I think the battle mechanics are improved upon. Like, I like all the team up stuff that you're able to pull off and all that sort of stuff. And just like combat feels a lot snappier and faster and all that sort of stuff. So, that all felt good and everything. I think the character writing is good for the most part. There's a lot of good, character moments and interactions that you get that are real fun. Like, I think they improve upon Yuffie's characterization from the original into this.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Barrett, like, shines. Mm-hmm. Which, heck yeah, Yuffie. Yuffie was really, really good in this. Mm-hmm.
Poor gal just kept getting vehicle sick.
Yeah, oh, she's struggling.
It's still saying they do not know how to pronounce Kaishi.
They do not have
friends. Kate Sith.
Kate Sith. I was like, oh, yikes. They made it very obvious who he is in this one.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know going into it, you know now. Vincent was hilarious.
Yeah, he's something.
He's little edgelord boy. Had a real bad day. Huh, well, how about that? I have too. Buddy, what? Just brooding everywhere.
Sid is just very southern good old boy.
He's a good old boy.
This is pretty fun.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's just like, you know, I don't know about all that weird stuff. I'm just going to stay put where I am. Thanks. Anyway, thanks for flying the Bronco Airlines.
I thought it was kind of weird because, like, in terms of story stuff, like, this is very non-spoilery, but, like,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't really get, it's not really that weird for most of this game. It's just kind of like, hey, you remember the story of Final Fantasy VII? Well, here's the story of Final Fantasy VII of these specific sections.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty faithful to the original,
yeah.
Like, which is not really what we were promised with Remake.
Because especially coming off of Remake, you would expect, like, it just go in, like, some completely bonkers direction. But, like, this is more Remake than Remake was.
Yeah, like, this is nearly a one-for-one in certain spots. And you're like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And then, like, certain aspects that they brought up in Remake, like, Whispers, it's like they forgot that they existed entirely. Until certain things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, did y'all forget your plot devices?
There's a whole heck of a lot of mini games in this here video game.
Oh my god.
Maybe too many.
I know that, like, the original one had a lot of mini games. I understand that. This one had too many mini games. Like, by the time we had to do that, like, robot fight one, I was just like, are you kidding me? You want me to do another thing? Come on.
Like, obviously the Gold Saucer stuff is in here and you get all those mini games, which, like, that's to be expected and everything. But, like, there's so many other mini games surrounding just other activities that you do. There's,
you want to wrangle some Moogles?
Wrangle Moogles. There's the new card game, Queen's Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Which has its own weird storyline attached
to it.
It
has its own weird storyline, yeah.
There's, like, little mini games attached to, like, the proto relics and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's the mini games for catching Chocobo.
Mm-hmm. Fort Condor.
Fort Condor.
Which I guess is proto relic, but still.
But, I mean, that's also a returning mini game as well.
Yeah.
There's the piano rhythm game.
Right. Which can be really obnoxious.
There's the rhythm game you can do for the parade segment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of stuff in this.
There's a whole lot.
They found ways to pad out that runtime as much as they could.
Yeah, they really did.
If you want to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Which I did most everything. I didn't do one side quest because I was like, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this. And I still had like 100-hour runtime.
Game long. Which, I mean, they...
Game long.
that was known going into this, obviously. Like, it was like,
yeah, yeah,
this is like
do this
30 to 40 hours if you just want to do the story, but if you want to do everything, you're looking at about like 100 hours ish.
There's no way anybody could have gotten through the story in 30 to 40 hours. I don't think.
I mean, if you're mainlining it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're shotgunning everything, maybe, but you'd literally have to do nothing extra.
Yeah. It is possible.
Mm-hmm.
It does look very nice. It does, but also, like, there's parts of it where if you're playing it on, like, performance mode, it just looks, it gets very blurry at times, because, like, I don't know, I think there's a problem with it. Like, they are eventually going to patch that, because, like, something's funky with it. But for the most part, it's a very nice-looking video game.
Yeah.
The soundtrack's good and all that stuff as well. Taking full advantage of the PlayStation 5 hardware.
Oh boy, I've seen some salty people that it didn't come out on PC.
Well, it's going to come out on PC afterwards. Like, that's how the first game was.
I know. I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of salty people that it didn't come out on PC. And it's like, what did you expect?
They can just shut up.
Yeah.
Go back in time and learn how this all went the last time.
As much as people, like, bust balls about, like, well, maybe I should get a good PC or something. It's like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should get a console that runs everything and... There you go.
Let him know. Let him know.
Like, wow, I can play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth at launch, and, like, I don't have to worry about the specs because I just put the disc in, and it's like, wow, I play amazing.
Unless you're in Japan, then you have to put the opposite disc in.
Oh, right, that's true.
Because they mislabeled the discs.
They mislabeled the discs.
It's pretty good.
That's so funny.
That's a good goof. Is there anything else we can talk about before we dive into some story stuff that you can think of off the top of your head? Y'all hear about Chadley and how everyone hates him?
Yeah, everybody hates Chadley. I wasn't that bothered by him. Although, like, the entire Grasslands, he didn't have any volume because I had accidentally piped him to my controller and not my speakers and had my controller muted. So I was like, why does he talk? All right, whatever.
Listen, here's the real take. The girl character they made is worse than Chadley.
Yeah, with Mai, yeah. Is that her name? Yeah, she's pretty terrible. I mean, the whole thing with Mai is that, like, I'm trying to fight these dang things. I'm trying to do these tasks you've set out for me. Can you just shut up for 10 seconds?
She's having a whole conversation. I'm like, I'm not even listening to you because I'm trying to fight this stuff.
I'm not even listening to you. Right. Like, I'm trying to focus on, like, how do I pressure this guy because you've told me to pressure and stagger and all this stuff. It's like, just shut up. And I love that Chadley's like, I regret making her. This is the worst.
Bruh.
Something that's non-spoilery-ish because it was in a trailer is that this is definitely the year of the RPG and the Segway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to use the Segway as much in this game compared to, like, Infinite Wealth, which is disappointing. But yes, you do.
Disappointing.
You do get to run around on the Segway, which is very fun.
I ran goofy. Into so many planters.
You can just knock planters all out, all around. It's very fun.
It's like, vroom. yeah, the whole, like, Casa del Sol section, I was like, oh, this is just Infinite Wealth. How about that? How about that? Anyway, that's the last thing I could come up with that is not spoilery.
All right, well.
Get out of here if you don't want spoilers.
Yeah, get out of here if you don't want spoilers, because we're going to talk about some spoilers and some very spoilery stuff right off the rip, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Come back. Farewell. Come back eventually.
All right, let's talk about some spoilers here.
Spoilers
of this here video game. I would say I liked 80% of this video game, and then the last 20% were very not good.
No, I completely agree with you. Yeah.
Temple of the Ancients is terrible.
Terrible.
I don't understand why they thought making a 3-hour long dungeon where you got to do a bunch of bullshit in it was a good idea.
I mean, it just grinds everything to a halt.
It does, like, because like that game, I feel like, you know, we mentioned like it's kind of just like it's just Final Fantasy VII at that point.
Yeah.
And you're just going through it, and you're just having a good old time and everything, and you're just like da 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 da, and then just once you get to that area, just the momentum just is halted as quickly as possible, and you're just like, this is taking forever.
I mean, the only like remotely interesting thing about that was like the challenges that they made everybody go through. But I mean, getting through that dungeon was legit painful, and by the time I got there, just like that sucked. And I like even the positive stuff that I had about that, I was just like, I don't care. I hated that. I hated everything about it.
It's especially weird because like most of the set piece, like dungeon areas, quote unquote, that you'd seen in the game weren't even remotely that long, maybe like an hour and a half tops, and like they never felt like they overstayed their welcome or anything like that, whereas this was just like they doubled down on the length and everything and just like making you do weird things, splitting up your party here and there, just like they wanted you to go through the ringer, and just it didn't feel like it worked.
No, it was painful and not fun and just honestly frustrating. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the thought process on that was, and I know that like I've seen people be like, oh well, we got more interest like information on the Cetra and all that. I'm like, did we actually? Because like I know we had all the little hologram going on, but like I don't feel like I actually learned anything new about the Cetra.
Also, you could still do that and make the dungeon way shorter.
Yeah, like Temple of the Ancients in the original, it was like confusing in the way it was set up, but like it was relatively short.
Yeah,
it was a setup for the final part of the game. Which I mentioned to you that like chapter 14, I was so because we didn't get to explore Forgotten City at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved if they had cut Temple of Ancients in half or like a third or whatever, and given us some playtime in Forgotten City. Like, why?
It felt like they kind of just like they thought they needed like some big bombastic dungeon to end the game with, and it's like, this ain't it.
Also, weird side note, but we sail north to go to Temple of the Ancients, and Temple of the Ancients in the original is in the south. So I was like, huh?
Well, this is a different universe, so that's why.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, north is where Forgotten City is, so, like, that part makes sense. But it made Cloud being like, well, we gotta go north now. I was like, you're in the north!
We gotta go norther.
Norther! More north! So that was a weird switch when, like, everything else is kind of in the same position. It's like, why would you switch where Temple of the Ancients is?
Maybe they didn't want you, like, going to the south and then going all the way back up north to do the other stuff.
Maybe.
Like, they just cut out, like, a big thing of sailing at that point, which whatever.
Sure.
But, you know,
I mean, you could have done, like, an Indiana Jones type situation of, like, you're in the south, you're at Temple of the Ancients, and you just see, like, a ding on the map, then you're there. Or like one of the automated like, hey, we're going this direction and we're chatting about what we're gonna do type situation. I don't know. Either way, it was weird that they switched where it is, but the only thing that really makes sense is multiverse shenanigans,
which is what we're getting here.
Yay.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they were like, because like the whole thing of remake was like, oh yeah, we broke free of fate and everything, and then just this game is just like, all right, you want to play through Final Fantasy VII? Where
it was weird.
Nothing's really changed, and then it's just the game, and then oh, the last two chapters. Oh, we didn't get weird with this game, because like I thought with how they were kind of doing this is being like, well, they can't get real weird with it, because like these parts of Final Fantasy VII are kind of weird to begin with, so you can't just make it even more weird on top of the weird. So I thought that's kind of why they were holding back. But really, it just felt like by the end of it, they just like, we got to get metatextual real quick. Multiverses. Do you want to bundle the ending of the game? Seth Roth knows everything. He's going to get real philosophical at this point. Cloud sees ghosts.
Remember the whispers?
Whispers, they're back, but there's more of them, and they're different colors now. It's just panic all around.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess some of that started in Gone Gaga with like Tifa being thrown into the live stream.
Which doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter at all. Like, nothing comes of that. And like, why did we do that if we're not even gonna like deal with it? Like, literally the only thing we get from that is Tifa going to like with Bugenhagen, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
And being like, hey, I fell in the live stream. He's like, ha, you're a dumbass. Like, I'm not listening to you. And then she goes to a therapy session and is like, hey, I fell in the live stream. And they're like, oh, beautiful, beautiful, good job. And then nothing.
And then also, like, the whole thing of, like, Cloud attacking her is like, well, that was weird. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, I almost killed Tifa. Oh, well.
Anyways.
Who cares? Doody-doody-doo. And it's like, we're just not gonna address. Okay. Sure. Why not? So yeah, some of that I was just like, y'all don't know what you're doing right now with this story,
no.
Do you?
No. I mean,
look at Zach.
Yeah, speaking of that, I was gonna say, let's segue into talking about Zach Fair and his involvement in this video game.
You mean? He doesn't have any involvement in this video game.
It's just like, all right, well, we put Zack in a different multiverse where he's alive, Cloud's messed up, Aerith is comatose, everyone else is dead, apparently.
Yeah, everybody else died.
Biggs is alive, though. And he's like, him and Zack are like, there's some weird timeline shenanigans happening here with what we know and everything. That's weird. Marlene knows the events of Final Fantasy VII somehow.
That was so funny. She's like, yeah, you know, if Aerith wakes up, this guy with like silver hair is gonna stab her and she's gonna die. Also, she's in love with Cloud.
Zach's just like, that sucks. Anyways.
Well, okay then. That's a lot of information this 4-year-old just gave me.
Like, It definitely, like, they obviously remade Crisis Core so you could get the Zack stuff, and because at the end of Remake they bring him back and do all that stuff, and then in this game they just like didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, they had no idea what to do with him, and it was really disappointing actually, because it was like, oh, another Zack chapter, we're gonna do something.
Like, I thought there was interesting things there at first where, like, you know, him and Biggs are palling around being sad boys. They're in this weird version of the world where it's like it's about to end and everyone's just like despondent about that and like, oh, sucks to suck anyways. And like, I thought this was going to end up being like, well, if they kill Aerith off, she'll end up in this version of the world and like her and Zack or something will like work together to figure out a way to save the other world somehow. But then they just don't do that. They just like,
yeah,
they're like multiverse shenanigans.
I thought maybe Zack was going to figure out a way to like help Cloud save her.
Right.
Especially like at the end where he's like, what do I do? Do I pick to help Biggs? Do I go this direction to help Cloud? I'm going to do this. And then they didn't do anything with that. It's like, huh? What do you mean you're just not going to do anything with that? I feel like they just like squandered the fact that Zack is alive in some universe to do nothing with him. So that he could like pop into a fight and be like, hey, buddy, what's up? Whoa. And then just disappear again. Like, huh?
Yeah, it's very strange.
And it somehow like didn't mess with Cloud's brain for Zack to like show up and help him fight.
He's just like,
when
Zack? Anyways, let's fight.
Because, like, he's come to the conclusion, like, oh, I saw Zack die. Zack died. He was the one that got swept away by the river. I'm going to be, like, an the Aerith and be like, oh, yeah, that guy's dead.
That guy sucks.
He sucks. But then he just shows up and it's like nothing. No big deal. Like, huh?
I don't know. What? I don't know.
I don't know, man. And then Biggs dies anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole stuff was just very weirdly implemented.
I mean, like I said to you when we were talking about this a little bit afterwards, is that, like, I thought where they were gonna go with it is that, like, you know, even though we have taken out the whispers and everything, like, fate is gonna make it, like, make things go down the way they're supposed to anyway, because, like, we see Wedge, like, fall from a great height and die. Biggs gets shot. There was an implication at one point that Jesse had been alive in the previous game, but then they're just like, no, just dead.
Psych!
So I was like, oh, you know, maybe that's the point that they're getting to, is that, like, even though we think we can change things, we can't actually change anything. Like, it's still going to happen anyway.
Well, too bad. It's just Sephiroth controlling all this.
Yeah, it's like, what? What? What's the point of killing Wedge again? Other than to bring up, you know, hey, Matt and Lucia were here.
Matt and Lucia are, like, big members of Avalanche, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is just a throwaway line in a piece of side content that you may or may not see.
Right.
That just really feels like they're like, oh, yeah, we made Ever Crisis. Let's just tie them into this somehow. Which is how Glenn is, essentially, in this game.
I was going to say, talk about squandered opportunity with Glenn. Oh, my God.
That whole thing with the Glenn stuff was very weird, because, like, he shows up and it's just, like, weird, grimy dude, when, like, that his whole characterization in Ever Crisis so far has just been, like, happy-go-lucky goofball, and this he's like, yeah. Bruh, 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 bruh. Look at my goatee, I hate Rufus.
He has none of the personality that he had in Ever Crisis.
And then it's just like, oh, by the way, it's just Sephiroth distracting Rufus from Sephiroth.
Yeah.
Which is like, what?
It's just Jenova Sephiroth being like, whoa, what's happening here? And then, you know, Rufus is like, I'm going to fund this fight between Shinra and Wutai, but I'm going to use a fake name. And I was telling you, in Japanese, it's literally just his name backwards.
Got him. They'll never know it's me.
But also, like, bro, what do you mean you're funding a war between your company and another country, but you're funding that other country? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I guess to be fair, Rufus is not having the greatest time because he's imagining Glenn the whole time.
Glenn.
And just, like, he's having the weird staticky stuff that Cloud has apparently as well, so...
Yeah, that's
not having a good time.
He's not having a good time. He apparently killed Glenn.
Spoilers.
We're in spoiler territory.
Spoilers for Ever Crisis.
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't know that he killed Glenn until I saw
No, I didn't either.
Shoot.
And then they're also
Glenn
just like,
the
oh, by the way, here's what happens at the end of this is what the Ever Crisis story is going to end up being.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
I'm like, oh, cool, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that whole thing feels like, oh, hey, do you want to play? You should play that mobile game.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Ever Crisis? You should play that.
It was really tacked on. Yeah. And I think there are better ways to, like, have Rufus think about his position and what he's doing than that.
Yeah. I will say, I think the one good thing they did was bring Cisne back, which was something we talked about in Crisis Core. We talked about Crisis Core that, hey, they should bring her back for this series they're doing. And they do that with her ending up in Gungaga and, like, leading the Gungaga folks and everything, like, protecting them from Shinra and all that. Because she's like, you know, this is Zack's hometown, and, you know, maybe he'll come back one day. Maybe.
Well, and didn't he ask her, like, hey, can you watch over my parents for me?
You would know more than me.
Pretty sure he asked her at that point. Like, when he knew what was going to happen, like, he's like, you know, there's no way I can win this fight, but I'm gonna try and run away anyway. It's fine. Like, this is obviously before, like, the final showdown type situation.
Right.
But, like, when he was trying to get away with Cloud, I'm pretty sure he said something about that. But, I mean, she says in one of the side quests, if you pick the, like, correct option, she's like, yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to come back, and, you know, I don't think he will, but I want to be here in case he does.
Yeah.
I was like, Cisne, yes.
So that was a really fun surprise because I was like, I heard her voice and I was like, is that
her?
I had to like wait until like the game confirmed it and I was like, hey, let's go.
Yay! And then you texted me and you're just like, oh my God, you're going to lose your mind.
And then you got there and you're like, whoa. So that bar was good.
I was so surprised she's alive.
Yeah. I mean, like, hey, this was in the good parts of this game, so.
No, you're right. You're right. And during the whole like proto relic thing, like she gets scanned and she's like, no, stop talking. Stop telling them a Turk. Oh my God. And like somehow none of them pick up like, oh, hey, yeah, she's a Turk.
But also not a Turk right now.
Yeah, she's no longer a Turk. She's a former Turk. But she has the badge that she gets scanned in, yeah. And they're saying she's a Turk. Did we have Kaishi at that point?
Yeah, because he's the one, like, leading you around the Shinra places.
Right, right. So, like, he should have known, but...
Or maybe it was him, or maybe it was Chad. I think Chadley's the one who's, like, who, like, reads her log and's like, blah, 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 what that would mean? And she's like,
no!
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. No, no, no talkie. Stop talking. Which, I guess that's something else I can bring up on the bad column. Is like, that Kaishi section with throwing the boxes was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. That was not great.
I hated that section. What do you mean I have to throw all these boxes? Boxes, this terrible system of throwing boxes. What do you mean you want to make me hate this giant Moogle that I'm riding on? I want to love him, but he can't aim for
he's doing his best.
Is he?
I mean, clearly.
That part sucked.
Yeah, not good.
No. But his name was good.
I feel like, well, there's one thing we got to talk about, and that is the elephant in the room.
Did Aerith die?
Why is Dio so hairy? No.
I mean, why is he? Yuffie had an awakening. I don't know if you saw that, but Yuffie's like peeking through the fingers like, oh my God. But yeah, he is hairy and he is beefy and he is in his undie pants.
He is a very 80s pro wrestler look. It was very funny. But yes.
It was very funny.
The big question, obviously, going into this game was, what do they do with Aerith?
Yeah.
You know, they've set off with Remake of like, hey, we can do weird things with this game. We can change things if we want. Do they, and this is what we talked about at the end when we play through, is like, what do they do? Do they keep her alive this time? Change things that way? Or do they stick with the script and give her the old stabby stabby?
Mm-hmm.
Poke poke. And poke, poke. So, obviously, that would have been the big question going into even just like, this project in general, but especially for this game where that's going to be the climax of the video game.
Mm-hmm. Like they told us like pre-launch, like, hey, you know, this is going to end in the Forgotten City. And everybody knows what that means.
Right. So you have all this time to determine, hey, what do we do with this? And the answer they came up with was shrug shoulders.
Yep, basically.
I am just baffled and perplexed by the way they completely f***ed up the ending of this and f***ed up one of maybe the most
like iconic
scenes
of
video
all time.
Game history. Yeah, like how do you do that?
Like, I understand that they had put themselves in a bad situation of like, you can't really please anybody because you. You upset people if you let her live. You upset people if you kill her again.
But this way, you just upset everyone.
Everybody.
Like you can't be
ambiguous
with this.
You gotta calm down on a decision. And they were very ambiguous with this.
Like, this is the one thing you don't be ambiguous with.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, not only did they, like, mess up one of the most iconic scenes in video game history, but, like, they took out entirely the emotional punch of it.
Yeah.
Because not only did you not really see what happened, not really have an explanation, but then you have like a long ass boss afterwards, like one of the most ridiculously long bosses of the game.
And you're, the whole time you're just like,
you don't get a bear.
The whole time, like when that scene's playing out, yeah. You're just confused. You're just like, it's what? But he blocked what? It, but then she's got stabbed, and then she's bleeding, but then she's not bleeding, but then she's bleeding again, and then she's not
then
bleeding.
She wakes up,
and then she's fine, but then she's not fine, and you're just like, what the f*** is happening?
And like, there's no burial scene, so like, they're obviously trying to keep it ambiguous what happened. But like, those are two of the most emotional moments of Final Fantasy VII, and like some of the most memorable moments of Final Fantasy VII, where like, the actual scene where she dies, and then that burial scene. And they're like, just both of it. Yeah, who cares? Whatever. You want to fight a final boss version of Sephiroth? You want a confusing scene with Zack?
You want a lot of confusing scenes with Zack?
Yeah. That'll make everybody happy. Hey.
Like, I think you could have done some of, like, the ending stuff where, like, it really touches upon Cloud's, like, mental instability, where he's, like, seeing Aerith and all this sort of stuff, and he's the only one who can, and, like, he's not really grieving because he's just like, oh, Aerith's fine, whatever. And do all that stuff if you had been more concrete with what you wanted to do with the death scene.
Right.
But here it's just, like, none of that stuff, like you said, like, none of the emotional parts of it hit. None of the stuff afterwards really hits in the same way, because you're just like, well, what really happened here? And it's not like it's a question of like, oh, what really happened, because like, you're interested in seeing where it goes. You're more just like, why didn't you just like actually give us a thing one way or the other? Like, this is the one thing you do commit on. You don't go ambiguous in this.
No, you don't. And yet here we are.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting seeing people play this game and then come out of it being like, the f*** were they thinking? Yeah. What the f*** happened here?
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big time mistake. I don't know what they were thinking with this, but I mean, like, one of the most memorable things for me when I was playing Final Fantasy VII is like, she gets killed. We have Cloud like mourning openly over her, saying like, she was like, his text box appears over Sephiroth's and is basically like, stop monologuing. Like, I'm sad. And then like, we get that cool fight scene with Genova with like Aerith's theme over it. And then, you know, you get the burial and all. And like, even I asked you the same question, cause I honest to God don't know. But they did the white materia switch, and they showed it like bouncing off into the water. But like in original seven, they make it very clear, like there's a green glow to it that like she was able to like get holy summoned. But I didn't see that in this one. So I was like, did she even actually succeed at getting holy trigger? Or did she just potentially, maybe, I don't know, die for nothing?
Well, don't worry. Multiverse Aerith is going to figure this out.
I saw people on Twitter talking about like, well, if you count, there are like five different versions of Stamp the Dog, and that's how you know which universe you're in. I was like, I shouldn't have to pay attention to the dog to know which universe I'm in. Also, why are there five different universes right now? What do you mean there's five? What's happening in all these five?
Sephiroth's monologuing.
Basically, yeah. Like a little drama queen taking a page out of Genesis book.
I will say, playing Crisis Core definitely ruined Sephiroth for me, because I'm like, man, normal guy Sephiroth, real cool. That guy is great. Villain Sephiroth,
terrible. He sucks. Like, nothing interesting about him.
So boring.
It's so frustrating. It's like, oh my god, my dude. They also like made it very, very obvious. Like, I was talking about how obvious it is that Reeve is Kaishi, but like, they made it very obvious in this, like, hey, Cloud was the grunt the whole time. Like, I don't know. They make some things very clear, and then they make things like the ending very unclear. And it's like, why are those the choices you made? Why?
I do not envied the task of having to come up with a decision on the Aerith death scene.
No, I don't either.
In the slightest. But I think the choice they made was obviously the worst one you could possibly make.
So here's the thing that I'm thinking. Like, I'm very much in the camp of, like, I want Aerith to live. I think that would have been really cool. That being said, I would have rather them, like, explicitly 100% killed her than do what they're doing now.
Yeah.
Because now it's like this weird limbo ambiguousness that I'm like, okay, like, I would have accepted if you had just made the decision to stick to the original instead of, like, saving her like you were implying was going to happen in Remake. But instead, you just did nothing. So, like...
Well, don't worry. Multiverse Aerith's going to be around in the next game, and she'll just pop up with Cloud at some points and be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? And Cloud's going to be like, oh, look at me. I'm very normal. Hey. Oh, no, I'm in a wheelchair now, and I'm falling.
And the whole, like, sky shatter thing where at the end he's like, yeah, don't look up. It's like, okay, well.
Everyone's just like, the f*** are you talking
bro,
about,
you
dude?
Good?
Bro is not good.
Which... I was seeing a thing that, like, they had changed Aerith's, like, final line in Remake recently.
Yeah, right before Rebirth
came out. And essentially what people are saying is, like, they changed that to imply that she's been seeing the sky shattering the whole time. And I'm like...
It's a weird thing to do right before the next game comes out. Be like, oh, let's change this line real quick.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Okay, sure. Why not? It's so weird. Like, it was really disappointing. And I'm just real mad that they did nothing with Zach.
Yeah.
Like, why have him live if you're going to do nothing with him?
This game just feels like a very... Like, obviously, it's a middle chapter, so it's going to be weird regardless.
Yeah.
But it feels weird, and also in the fact of, like... I don't know if you really please people who want that one-to-one remake of Final Fantasy VII. Like, you mostly kind of get here, but then the end happens, and you're not going to please those people. And then you're also not going to please the people who want the weird wackiness or just, like, the metatextual stuff of Remake, because a lot of that's not here until the very end, and even then
it's
still
not done well.
Not great. So it's like,
who
really
is...
Well, I mean, like, not really who's this for, but, like, who really benefits from this game?
I mean, if people were to go back and listen to our episode about Remake, like, one of the things that made us actually give a shit about playing any games after that is that they were just doing wild stuff and, like, making it clear that they were trying to go a different direction. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, what if we just don't do that? And then, like, we get to the end and then we scramble and try to make something happen, but then it still fails.
We scramble and we just trip all over
ourselves.
Yeah, it's
like, oh god.
It's like a Looney Tunes bit.
It really is. Or, like, I don't know, somebody's playing Mario Kart and they just keep hitting banana pills repeatedly.
They just keep green shelling
themselves.
You know
what I was about to say? Like, it's Mario Kart, but it's the blue shell only mode. Like, that's the ending of this game.
You're in first place and you throw the blue shell and you're like,
wait,
no.
That's gonna hit me. Like, that's what this is. That's what that feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, you had every chance to do something cool with this game. And you did the exact opposite of doing something cool with this game by ending it the way you did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's disappointing. Like I said, I liked 80% of this game. I thought, like, there was a lot of good things that were happening. Like, I thought the character writing was real fun. Like, the evolution of the characters from the first game to this game and everything was good. The locations were fun for the most part, except for, like, the open world stuff and all that stuff. But, like, the more kind of, like, contained city areas
were fun
and interesting. The combat was good. It looked really nice. And then you just get to chapters 13 and 14 and the game just falls off a cliff.
Yeah, it really did. One thing that I did want to mention that I thought was a really good idea that worked super, super well, was the voice change with Red 13.
Yeah.
I loved that because we didn't get as like because it was text boxes, we didn't really get that with original. And like there had been hints that that was going to happen throughout. Like there was one part where Cloud's like, "Why is there a dude in Aerith's room? And who is that voice?" And he's like, "Huh, I'm gonna go check it out." And then he comes out, and he's like, "Brooding, brooding, blah blah
Hey, how's
blah."
it going?
And then like, there's another point where Aerith is like taking a shower, and you hear like the voice, and you're like, "Huh, interesting." But then like he gets super excited to see his friends, and Barret's like, "Yo, what the hell?
Who's this?
What are you talking about?" Almost gets hit with a fire tail. He's like, "Ah." It's so good. I'm also very glad that they at least committed to Bugenhagen having the orb that he floats on.
Yes.
I was worried they were gonna undo that somehow.
That would have been very disappointing if that was not in here.
Very disappointing, but I'm glad that it was. But yeah, some of the character writing was really, really good. I know that a lot of people were bummed out about how the whole dying situation went down. That he didn't kill himself this time. Which, I mean, he kind of did, like a suicide by.
Sounds like they were mad because he was dying.
Ah! He kind of did a suicide by cop situation there.
Also weird that like none of the Dirge of Cerberus stuff from Intermission was at all in here.
Zero. Like, you had a flash of it in the Yuffie section?
But outside of that, like
Nothing.
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 Which is very strange.
And they just cut Rocket Town entirely. So that sucked. I was sad about that. I assume we'll get it in the next game, but who can say?
Shrug shoulders.
Man. I don't know, man. Like, I was excited to play this one because I liked Remake and I liked, what was it, the Yuffie DLC Integrate? I don't remember what it was called. But like, it's kind of a wet fart going into the third one.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about that.
I don't either. I don't either.
Also, just as a side note, because it's been one of the most frustrating things that's happened in the past few weeks, is that it has definitely reignited all of the horrible people who do the shipping wars. And I am so f-ing tired of seeing it. I'm
I can't
so
believe people
tired of
are
seeing it.
going to war over who should you date, Barret or Red 13.
I mean,
Sound off down below.
it's like y'all,
Sorry, I mean it's either Barret, Red 13, or you go on a date with the
the
boys,
boys,
which is what I think it's like
Kaishi,
Kaishi,
Vincent,
Sid, and
Sid.
Vincent, which
Yeah,
is very
that's
funny.
really funny. Like, I need to see that one at some point.
Hey guys, you want to go on the Ferris wheel?
Let's do it. I want to go on the Ferris wheel with
What a
Sid.
group.
That's like one of my least favorite aspects of like the Final Fantasy VII fandom is like that toxic shipping nonsense. It's gross. And like it has really been flamed by this game and it is infuriating. It's like people don't realize, hey, literally all the dating stuff is optional. Like you make that choice. Because that's how it was in the original game. It's it, n none nobody is canon. It doesn't matter. Doesn't
I'm
matter.
canon.
You are canon. You're great. Cloud should date you. Wait, no, actually, I wouldn't wish that on you because he's kind of f***ed up. You deserve better.
Just a little bit.
You deserve better. Honestly, everybody deserves better. Tifa lies, but Tifa also doesn't want to get stabbed again. It's just, none of this is necessary.
Let me leave you with one final question here.
Is it the Final Fantasy question?
No. Okay. If you could take one location from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and put it in the Power Wash Simulator, what is it?
Oh my god, that's the greatest question.
What place do you want filthy?
It would be pretty funny to have a filthy gold saucer.
But the gold saucer is very big.
It is very big. Where would I want that is not huge?
Okay, here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Johnny's Hotel.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, it even makes sense because he would need a power wash. That is disgusting.
It's true.
Johnny's Hotel would be so fun. Get on a power wash, people.
That would be pretty good.
Oh, that'd be fun. I like your suggestion, and I'm going to steal it.
But yeah. It's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I was thinking this whole time, like, oh, they're gonna call the next one Reunion with how much they're saying Reunion, right? And then I was like, oh, right, they called the Crisis Core remake Reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of shot the shot there.
Oops.
And messed up.
Oops, magoops.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is a video game.
Yep.
Da, 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 da.
Yay!
That's going to wrap it up for us this week. So if you'd like more from us, head on over to seasonalanimecheckup.com or sac.cool, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Jared Now Watch. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from Ann Ladium, go to annladium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. You can follow us on Blue Sky, seasonalanimecheckup.com. You can buy our books, One Shiny Moment, A Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/SACOVA. Buy us a slice of pizza. Get access to unedited versions of the podcast early, monthly, exclusive Patreon podcasts, and a whole wealth of bonus content as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next week. It's the final episode of March.
So is it March Madness time?
It's March Madness time.
Oh,
it's time to fill out your brackets.
Yay!
Get ready for that.
Yay!
So look forward to that.